relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
It is America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Mark Davis filling in from 660 AM, The Answer in Dallas-Fort Worth, awaiting the arrival here of one of my favorite attorneys, one of my favorite folks in the world of punditry, Harmeet Dhillon. Let me know when she's there. And as we await her, she's been watching closely the events in the courtroom, as have I. And you don't have to be, an attorney to sort of recognize. I mean, you don't have to be a chef to realize when the food is bad, and you don't have to be an attorney just kind of in the most casual, cursory observation of this threadbare Alvin Bragg case. It just shows what an empty basket it is. So let me say, hey, is Harmeet on the line? Hey, Harmeet, Mark Davis in for Seb. How are you, ma'am?
I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
What an absolute joy. I want to do a couple of things if I can. One sort of an overview, actually three things if I can get greedy. An overview of how Trump's doing, how this week in court is doing, just a general RNC, how's the party doing sort of thing. And then we're going to take a look. You sent us something that I'm particularly interested in, and that is, how do you know you're over the target is when you're taking on flack. And one of my great heroes of late is Riley Gaines, and they tried to victimize her, and there's some interesting stories as to how that happened. So in that kind of order, let me ask you, as the attorney in the room when I'm not, I asked the guys a moment ago, how long can we ride this train of turning lemons into lemonade, where Trump in court seems to be something that makes it obvious what a sham this entire thing is? I mean, is this the narrative, and this is, we get to ride this to ultimate success?
Well, you know, the commentary outside the courtroom is definitely trending in our direction in the sense that the behavior of the court is so indefensible that it is creating a backlash of sympathy for President Trump. But let's not lose sight of the consequences inside the courtroom, which include keeping the leading candidate for president off the campaign trail, causing him to incur expense, putting him and all of his attorneys and advisors in legal jeopardy of violating outrageously overbroad and unconstitutional gag orders, and ultimately subjecting him to criminal liability potentially for conduct that is well beyond the statute of limitations and cannot be proven to be a campaign finance violation. So to me, the fact that this ridiculous case has proceeded to this point points to an underlying rot in the legal system that we have really seen over the last several years, where judges who normally are charged with being gatekeepers of justice have abandoned that function, which they swore an oath to, and instead are weaponizing their offices for political purposes. And so this is a disturbing trend. It is not just in this courtroom, but in other courtrooms in New York. It is in most courtrooms in the District of Columbia. And we are seeing it in courts all over the country, where Trump-supporting alternate delegates are being prosecuted for their First Amendment activities. So I'm very troubled by all of this.
And we should be. And let me ask you about Judge Mershon, because much has been said and written about him, and a lot of attention has been given to his daughter, who is a very mouthy partisan advocate for Democrat causes, which in a free country she gets to be. But a lot of people are saying, wait a minute, that's his daughter. You know, and did the apple fall far from the tree? How fair or unfair is that? Is his daughter his problem?
Well, it's his problem in the following sense. New York State has a specific statute regarding judicial disqualification or recusal. And that specific statute says that if your child, and child is within 6 degrees of relationship, so it's a first degree of relationship, if that person is benefiting financially from the case that you're presiding over, you have a legal duty to recuse yourself. And the judge has simply refused to do that, and the Court of Appeals has refused to correct him on that. And so these folks are all ignoring the law. So, no, you aren't responsible for your kid mouthing off you are obliged, if your kid is financially benefiting, which is the case in this situation, to recuse yourself. It is a very clear standard, and it is shocking that this judge wants to get Trump more than he wants to follow the law.
I'm glad I asked that, and thanks for phrasing it that way, because I had a call on my own DFW radio show this morning of somebody who said, hey, Mark, aren't you the same guy who has said that it's not a problem that Clarence Thomas's wife, Jenny, has been expressing herself? That doesn't, you know, that there's no inoculation necessary. Justice Thomas is able to rule fairly on that with his wife's activities, obviously right there in the same house. What's the difference between the two?
The difference between the two is New York State has a specific judicial statute that specifically describes financial benefit, and I don't think people have made the same assertion with respect to the Supreme Court. First of all, there is no similar statute. Second of all, there's no allegation of financial benefit that I'm aware of. She's entitled to her opinions. My husband is entitled to his opinions, and people's spouses and children are entitled to their opinions. This is millions of dollars of financial benefit. It is not trivial financial benefit. It is big bucks. And so it is a big problem for this judge to stay on this case.
Harmeet Dhillon is here. Having worked our way into the Supreme Court as a topic, let's talk about the other courtroom where Trump is topic A, and that's the notion of presidential immunity. I always try to apply a consistency test. So the way I sleep at night is I would say, yes, Democrat presidents, even those that drive me crazy, ought to also be entitled to presidential immunity, because every president needs to go through, because again, it's not for shooting somebody in the street or committing some, you know, thuggish crime. It's for official duties, the weaponizing of lawfare against presidents for their official duties. I would indeed protect presidents of both parties against rogue, ambitious DAs trying to get themselves in the paper by saying, look at me, I'm trying to bring down the president. What's your thought?
My thought is that, so first of all, I should say that one of the cases mentioned repeatedly in this 3-hour argument yesterday in the Supreme Court is a case that my law firm and I specifically am handling. And that involves civil immunity and civil claims against President Trump for January 6th activities by other people, not President Trump. And so that is what that standard articulated in that case in the D.C. Circuit called Blasting Game is what the Trump side was arguing should apply. And that is that there should be immunity for the presidential acts of President Trump, broadly construed, but no claim of immunity in that case for the purely private acts of candidate Trump. Now, what the other side is arguing, the government side, the special prosecutor side, is that the sort of presidential acts framework should be very narrowly construed to include only those acts that exclusively the president can do. So allegedly core mm-hmm. functions like appointing ambassadors and, you know, declaring war and things like that. Not declaring war, but, you know, treaties and things like that, that president pardons, things like that, that exclusively a president can do. And there's no support for that in the Constitution. There's no support for that in the case law of the Supreme Court. And this is literally the first time a former president has been prosecuted. And so what the court is charged with is fashioning a rule that not just affects President Trump, but more importantly, affects future presidents and their conduct. Because if there is a very narrow construction, like the government is arguing because they want to get Trump, that's going to limit the quality of people who want to be president, because you're basically going to be subjecting yourself to a potential lifetime of vendettas.
Indeed.
By the opposing party after the fact.
It'll be never ending. It will be never ending. Exactly.
Which is terrible.
Harmeet, I've got one thing drooping off the end of that question, and then I want to do the Riley Gaines thing. Can you hang with us for one more quick segment, please?
Of course.
Excellent.
No,
Harmeet Dhillon is here. And so, silly me, I consider challenging a dubious election result to be an official thing that a president does. We'll run that by Harmeet. And then how Eventbrite tried to bring down Riley Gaines. Didn't work. More in a moment. Mark Davison for Seb Gorka. This is America First on a Friday.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Remember as a kid, your parents and grandparents making you try all the vegetables on your plate, or when they coaxed you to eat fruit instead of sweets? That's because they knew that was good for you. And it's truer today than ever before. You need to eat your fruits and vegetables. There's no substitute for a healthy diet, but there is Balance of Nature. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. Feel better, naturally, and eat your fruits and vegetables every single day with Balance of Nature. Are you ready to start? Whether you order online or call them directly, you must use promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them 800-246-8751 and use code GORKA or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
Thank you, Seb. Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka today. He's back on Monday. He is in my state of Texas. He is in Houston. His son, Paul, is doing his first, I love the way he phrased this, his first Ironman, as if there will be more. Listen, if it's something you want to do one time, if you want to swim for 2.5 miles and then bike for 115 and then run a marathon, hey, if you do it once, why not do it multiple times? Here's something it's always a pleasure to do repeatedly, and that's welcome the wonderful Harmeet Dhillon to the show. Whatever show you're doing, it's been my joy to talk to her on my local show and now here on the Salem Radio Network and the Salem News Channel. Harmeet and I were just talking about the immunity case where Trump is arguing that presidents absolutely need to have presidential immunity. And I don't, you know, the literal elephant in the room for Republican Party purposes is that the president's assertion that the 2020 result was simply flawed and his mobilization of everything at his disposal to get to the bottom of that, surely that would be an official presidential act, would it not?
Well, president certainly has a duty and a right and a duty to comment on those issues. Ultimately, the executive branch is responsible for a significant portion of the government, and this is protected speech. It is leadership by the president. And so the area that, you know, we have conceded in court, or the lawyer conceded in court yesterday and below, that would be not covered by immunity would be things like talking to your private lawyer. That's separately covered by a different kind of protection, mm-hmm. namely the First Amendment.
Right.
But for immunity purposes, you know, we're not arguing that every single thing that the former president and future president does is immunized, simply that we broadly construe his official acts. And I think that's consistent with 250 years of Supreme Court precedent. And it was very ably argued yesterday by the court. And I think the government's position is untenable, quite frankly. And so we feel good about the hearing coming out. Of course, you don't know what's going to happen until you read the opinion, but several of the justices seem very troubled by the implications of a narrow immunity reading.
And speaking of untenable things, just 60 seconds on this, and then we'll go to one of the gender issues we'll talk about in the Riley Gaines targeting. Clearly, the gag order, especially one that is particularly one-sidedly punitive toward him, clearly the gag order is unconstitutional, isn't it?
I think it's unconstitutional, yes. It's unprecedented. And what's crazy is that witnesses in this case, including Michael Cohen and others, publicly announced witnesses, have not been prohibited from talking about President Trump, but he's been uniquely prohibited. And one thing that your listeners need to know is that the constitutional right to a fair trial accrues under the Constitution to the defendant. But it is the defendant who's being gagged here, supposedly for his own good, yet at the same time, the people who are out there trashing him are actually affecting the jury potentially and are not gagged. And so I think that's problematic, to say the least. And so all of these issues are going to be examined on appeal, I'm sure.
In our last couple of minutes, your advocacy of the law is not just about pure politics and political people in the RNC. You also care deeply about the law and gender sanity. I talked about this on the radio when it happened, that the people at Eventbrite, their job is to provide ticketing for like every event known to man. You've got to go through Eventbrite to do anything these days. And Riley Gaines had an appearance somewhere, and Eventbrite said, we're not going to facilitate tickets to her event because this is the usual old canard, the tired old strategy, that because she believes that men should not be in the pool with her, she practices discrimination. There's been a Senate finding of the why Eventbrite censored her. What do we know?
Well, so Eventbrite has been doing this quite a bit recently. Matt Walsh is another victim. My client, Chloe Cole, the famous detransitioner, is another victim. And basically what they're trying to do is shut down the rights opportunity to have important discussions by, at the last minute, canceling contracts that they've already entered into with people who want to attend these events. So the good news is there are conservative platforms to do this kind of thing, and I haven't used Eventbrite for many years for this very reason. They have a propensity to cancel conservative events. And so what conservatives need to do is spend their money with conservative payment processors, conservative event vendors, and if those things don't exist, then you know they should be developed by conservatives. So I think it's a really problematic situation. And kudos to the strong voices out there, Chloe, Riley, Matt Walsh, and others for drawing attention to it, so that we all know not to use these businesses who don't
absolutely
want our business.
Absolutely. And the core value of it, it's the most pro-woman thing you can do is protect women's sports. Harmeet, thank you so much. You're wonderful. Big fan. Thanks a lot. The great Harmeet Dillon. And I'm Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka. In fact, so in the next break, 833-33-GORKA. Let's grab some calls for a segment. 833-33-GORKA. We've already done a lot. Let's see what you want to talk about. I'll tell you a story right out of Fort Worth, just west of me here, where a detransitioner event got shut down by local government and somebody needed to do something about it. So I did. We'll talk about that and much more as we spend a Friday together here on America First.
Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com.
It is America First. I'm Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka. He'll be back on Monday. He is in my state of Texas. He's down the road in Houston, where his son Paul is doing an Ironman over the weekend. That is just crazy. You swim for 2.5 miles. Let's just stop right there. And then you ride a bike for 115 or so. And then you get to do a marathon. So, wow. Just there's a lot of energy in that family. And a lot of energy on today's show as we wrap up the week. 833-33-GORKA. If you want to join us for thoughts in your head about Trump's week in court, Trump's prospects for 24, chaos on college campuses. What else has been in the news? It's never a shortage. Let's dive in and talk to a gentleman who I've known for some years and been interested in and followed and talked to on a couple of occasions. Mark Lotter is here. Mark was a comms director for Trump in 2020, very heavily involved in the whole Mike Pence world of 16. And let's find out what he's up to now and what his thoughts are now. Mark Lotter, welcome. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you?
I am fantastic. So let me just get your overall thought of your thumb on the pulse of how we're doing right now. Everybody who has any shred of Republican DNA should be hoping that Trump is able to get past all of this nonsense, all this courtroom debris, and prevail. Do you think things are looking good, or do you have concerns?
No, I think things are looking great. They're actually looking better now than they were at any point in 2020. I mean, think about it this way. At no point, not one single day in 2019 or 2020, even before the pandemic, was Donald Trump beating Joe Biden in the Real Clear Politics national average. Not a single day. He's been leading every day since last September. And if you also remember, the final Real Clear Politics average had Joe Biden winning by about 7.5 points. The final difference was about 4.5 in the actual vote. And so when you see Donald Trump up, we'll add 4.5 points to it, because that's what he needs for a margin of victory. It doesn't matter whether you win the national vote. It matters whether you're winning in the swing states. He's leading in 6 of the 7 swing states. There's one state where he's not leading, but it's less than 0.5 percentage point. And so that's basically a toss-up. And Donald Trump doesn't have to win them all. He only has to win 2 of them if it's Pennsylvania and Georgia. Most situations involve him needing to win 3 of the swing states, but he's leading in 6 of the 7, and one of them is so small it's basically a tie.
And when you go to the numbers, and I want to make sure I get them pretty close to right, is that Biden won, I know, or did he? But let's just say that the election was decided by about 40 or 45,000 votes spread across 3 states. So don't believe your vote doesn't matter. And if we show up in the kind of force that we're capable of, we can absolutely bring this home. Do you think that 2024 is going to be that kind of nail biter? Because things are, you're so right. He has, I'm trying to remember last time, was it Michigan or Wisconsin where he's behind by a hiccup?
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Well, God, Pennsylvania looked pretty good in a number of ways recently. So I feel good about all of these states. And yet, right now, Democrats are dispirited because Biden is nearly dead. The border is completely dysfunctional. The economy is horrible. Every issue from crime and punishment, gender, sanity, just all kinds of things tend to tack in a Republican direction. In the month of October, just to pick a month, something's going to happen. Let me ask you about it. It's called every Democrat, knowing that Biden is nearly a corpse, knowing that they're losing on every issue, but they're going to look at the opportunity to beat Trump again, and they're going to walk through fire and crawl on broken glass to do it. I'm concerned about that. What about you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have to make sure that we run up the score so much that they can't do whatever shenanigans they do to take it away. But this is where I think the advantage falls to us, because, you know, most presidential elections, every presidential election for the last 100+ years has had a hypothetical element to it. One of the candidates or both of the candidates were hypothetical presidents. Mm-hmm. All you had to do was picture them being president. Joe Biden basically hid in his basement and said that I'll end the pandemic, I'll work across the aisle, and I won't mean tweet. And that's all he needed to do. Well, he has a record now, and Donald Trump has a record now, and people correctly remember that, well, let's see, things were cheaper, you had more money in your pocket, gas cost less, groceries cost less, the border was secure, the world was not at war. All of those things are true under Donald Trump. They're not true under Joe Biden. And so when you see union construction workers in downtown Manhattan saying, we're Democrats, we've always been Democrats, we've had enough, we can't do it anymore, we're voting for Donald Trump, we're supporting Donald Trump, that is happening all over the country. It's happening in the Black community. It's happening with the Latino community. It's happening in the Asian American community. I think it's happening even in the suburbs where women and where suburban folks are going, I may not have liked everything he tweeted or how he said it, but God, they're cheaper. Life was better. We didn't have the open border. You weren't letting criminals out after they beat up NYPD officers. And I've just kind of had enough of this left lunacy. I'm going back to the policies that worked.
There is a clip maybe a month or so ago, where NBC, I believe, went into a black barber shop and talked to a lot of obviously black guys. And they said, well, they were young, too, like 25, 30. And they remember precisely two presidents, Trump and Biden. And it's not like they all wear MAGA hats, but they all said, you know, all other things being equal, the difference between Trump and Biden is under Trump, we had money. And results ultimately do matter. And I think that we can count on not just, you know, the MAGA base, and God bless the MAGA base, we're all going to be there, but also people who may not be as politically wired as you are or I am, just saying, look, all other things being equal, we had a border, the economy was better. And here, I want to run this by you. Thank you for taking me down this little rabbit hole. President Trump, with all of his oddities, idiosyncrasies, he is ultimately the normalcy candidate, because the return of Trump will mean normal borders, a more normal economy, the normal idea of punishing people for crime. So, yes, Trump has this wheels off persona and the occasional mean tweet, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't matter. The Trump vote is a vote for a return to normalcy. Does that make sense to you?
It absolutely makes sense. So here's the challenge, though. And I said this back in 2020, but I think it's even more important now. And so everyone here who's listening, and I know you are probably some of the most diehard MAGA faithful that there are, you've got 6 months, basically. So how can you help Donald Trump win? Yeah, make sure you go out and vote. Make sure your family goes out and votes. But here's the challenge for each and every one of you. Go out and find 10 people in the next 6 months. 10 people who are like, well, my vote doesn't count, or my vote doesn't matter, or I don't know. I mean, I've got soccer practice. The kids have got to go to gymnastics or softball or whatever the case may be. I'll think about it. If things okay, if the weather's all right, I'll go vote. No. You make sure you get them, whether it's an early vote, an absentee ballot, get them registered if they don't know how to register, and make sure you follow up. Make sure that you know who they are and go, did you get your ballot turned in? Did you mail it in? Did you drop it off? Did you show up on election day? Because that's the only way. We win on the policies. The overwhelming majority of the American people know our policies are better. 2/3 of the American people think that our country's headed in the wrong direction. So, you know, maybe we can't donate $1 million or $1,000 if you can do it. But if you can't, then go out and find 10 people in the next 6 months who otherwise may not be likely to vote. Don't talk to your friends in the MAGA community, because they're going to be there anyway. We got
to
go out and
talk to them. Talk to them to have them go get 10 people of their own. Mark Lauder is here. Current business card is Chief Comms Officer at the America First Policy Institute. More with Mr. Lauder as we return on America First. Mark Davis in for Seb. Be right back.
You may have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They have been attacked as part of the cancel culture, and so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, for $25. Brand new 4-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code GORKA or call 800-829-8468 today. That's code GORKA. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
Thank you, Dr. Gorka. Mark Davis in for Seb. And like Seb, I thank God every day that America is the freest nation on earth. We remain free because of the right to keep and bear arms, and no other company in America personifies that right more than the Carr Firearms Group. Their story is the American dream. Their products are absolutely second to none. CAHR, K-A-H-R, CAHR Firearms Group is your source for high-quality firearms. Visit them at www.kahr.com. Dr. Gorka carries CAHR every single day, and so should you. We're talking to Mark Lotter. Mark is the communications director for the America First Policy Institute. Tell me what that is. What's America First Policy Institute?
Well, basically, the America First Policy Institute was born out of the first Trump administration when it became clear that there was not going to be a consecutive second term. Normally all the smart people go off to academics or get hired by, other think tanks or go to universities. And so our president and CEO, Brooke Rollins, Linda McMahon, Larry Kudlow, the great Larry Kudlow, got together and said, let's put all these people in a single room and let's keep the brain power together. Because we were the people, there were 8 cabinet-level officials, 20 White House senior staff, 50 senior administration officials who were there doing the actual work in the White House, in the agencies. And whether it was President Trump or another America First candidate, they need to get a roadmap of not only what to do, but how do you actually get it done? I mean, I walked into the White House with the president on the first day, January 20th, 2017, after he had taken the oath of office. And, we had like 500 people we put, into government. We had like one executive order ready to sign. Joe Biden had like 2,000 people go in and had 50 executive orders ready to go. So we've got to do a better job of getting ready across the board, not just with Trump, but even going back to other Republican administrations. So we put the brain power together under one roof to actually put forth an America First agenda, whether it's energy, the economy, securing the border, national security, you name it. We've got the leaders from that administration and the researchers doing the hard academic work, putting the numbers together, writing the boring white papers that, that policy people love to do, but they're really important. And then the lawyers take it, turn that into legislation and turn that into potential executive actions. And so when President Trump hopefully takes office, he will have a menu. He will be the one who decides what to do. But when he says, I want to do X, we'll say, here's the paper for it. Here's the research behind it. Here's the legislation for the Hill. Here's the executive order you should sign or send to the agency so they can get this stuff done. And he'll call the shots.
Very cool.
But we'll be ready to go with what you have to do to actually move the levers of government.
Website is AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Mark Lotter is our chief comms officer. In our remaining couple of minutes, let's do something we could do a couple hours on. When you and I first met in 2017, you'd been in the sphere of Mike Pence. And help me understand. I will always love Mike. He was a great vice president. He's a magnificent Christian, a magnificent Republican, a magnificent conservative. Did January 6th break him?
Well, I think it, yeah. I mean, I think in a certain way it did. I think he felt that his responsibility and the way he understood the law and history required him to do one thing when the vast majority of the American people thought that he could go a different direction. And, that's a cross he will bear. That's a cross he probably proudly bears. But it also probably means that that's the end of his political career as an elected official. And so there are times when elected leaders, regardless of party, have to do what they consider to be right and suffer the consequences for it, maybe politically. In this case, that's the decision he made, and that's obviously the fate that he is enduring. But we also have an opportunity to grow from it. This is an opportunity that we have to shape what we want to be in the future. And I think the American people, to a certain extent, I've always said, if it weren't for Jimmy Carter being so bad, we'd have never gotten Ronald Reagan.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Maybe the American people needed to be reminded how bad liberal policies are. We needed Joe Biden to show us how inept he is. And how taken over by the woke, now pro-terrorist, anti-Israel left that they have become. And my hope is that whether you're in New York City, which we saw yesterday on television, or in Chicago, or in Minnesota, or the union workers in Pennsylvania and Michigan, you sit there and you shake your head and go, nah, that's not me. I can't do that anymore. you know, I may not put on a MAGA hat, but I'm voting for Trump.
Precisely right, because results matter. And the folks at the America First Policy Institute matter as well, AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Follow Mark Lotter on the old X Twitter at Mark_Lotter, L-O-T-T-E-R. Mark, thanks for the time and the Q&A. We really appreciate it. God bless and thank you. Have a great weekend.
Greetings. This is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it.
Hall & Oates and Out of Touch. We could apply that to all kinds of things in today's list of talk show topics. What a pleasure it is here on America First with Dr. Gorka. I'm Mark Davis filling in for Seb. He's back on Monday. But if ever I'm just doing cable laps and I just all of a sudden go, oh, there's Alan Dershowitz, I stop no matter what I'm doing because I know it's going to be interesting. And as I said earlier, those of us who are dyed-in-the-wool conservatives, those of us who are wearing MAGA hats, those of us who are all in for Trump, we can say certain things about his travails in the courtroom and they go, well, you're just a Trump supporter. But when the occasional Bill Maher sticks up for fighting the woke mind virus, or when the great attorney legacy of Alan Dershowitz is brought to bear on all kinds of things, some of which are counterintuitive to his political leanings, it just makes it worth even more. So it's a real pleasure to say hello to Professor Alan Dershowitz. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Miss Seb, tell him we can't wait to have him back.
Oh, you'll love. You know why he's out today? His son, Paul, is in Houston doing an Ironman, swimming for 2 miles, biking for 115, and then running a marathon.
My niece did an Ironman and met her husband, who was an Ironman. So Ironman married Iron Woman, and they have some iron children.
Iron sharpens iron in all kinds of ways. Well, I'm glad I mentioned that. Listen, we have an easy half a dozen books to sell, and that's just in the last couple of years. And they all cover all the top-of-mind topics, Trump in court, the war on woke, et cetera, et cetera. But as this week comes to an end, let me just ask you about what has happened reputationally to Alvin Bragg's case against Trump in Manhattan.
It never was a case, but right now it's falling apart. And you want to hear something interesting that people aren't aware of, and that is the Court of Appeals decision yesterday in the Weinstein case. As you know, they threw out the conviction of Weinstein on the ground that the judge had allowed in too much evidence of uncharged crimes. And that's exactly what's happening in the Trump case. In New York, the court is admitting evidence, the Pecker evidence. No crime in the Pecker evidence. There's no crime to pay hush money, and I suspect that there is a conviction, and it's New York, so there's likely to be a conviction by a jury that was picked out of a jury pool, 85% of whom hate Trump. But I suspect the courts will reverse it on the same ground that they reversed the Harvey Weinstein conviction.
So if there is a conviction, how do the wheels of appeal? I consider all these things to move at a glacier's pace, and I won't make you a political consultant about how that affects the reelection, but just how do the wheels of justice work if he is indeed convicted, which looks like a better than 50-50 chance? What is he then able to do?
He moves for an immediate expedited appeal on the ground that the prosecutors in all of these cases are trying to expedite the conviction. If they're going to try to expedite the conviction, he has the right to an expedited appeal. And it should be argued like 2 weeks after the conviction, and the decision should come down after that, so that they don't get a situation, which is what prosecutors want, that he's convicted, that it affects some of the independent voters negatively, and then it's reversed after the election. No harm, no foul. That can't be allowed to happen. And so an expedited appeal would be the way to go, and I think the courts would have no choice but to grant it.
There is an abiding thought across political lines that of the various cases against Trump, some of them election-related in Washington, January 6th related in Washington, election-related in Georgia, documents-related in Florida, that this one is, in fact, the weakest. Do you share that view?
Oh, weak is not the right word.
Sure.
This is a non-existent case. There is no crime. What happened is they took a minor misdemeanor that was barred by the statute of limitations and performed a resurrection miracle. They brought it alive after the statute of limitations had been expired by saying that his psychoanalytic purpose in doing this, and they had to go to the inside of his mind, was to help his election, and therefore it was federal election crime, although the federal government didn't charge it, the Federal Election Commission didn't charge it. It's not only a non-crime, it's unethical behavior by the prosecution to have brought this case. It's the prosecutor who ought to be on trial in front of an ethics committee rather than Donald Trump on this one.
I want to send everybody to the Alan Dershowitz book, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. Those same people who are sort of grading and ranking the gravity of the cases say that the documents case in Florida is the strongest. Is that also a view you share?
It's a smoking cigarette butt. Let me tell you what I mean.
not a gun.
It's smoking. Because they have evidence that he waved a piece of material in front of somebody saying it was classified. I could have declassified it, and I didn't. So that's pretty darn good evidence. But it's a minor crime. It's a cigarette, but it's not a gun. I mean, every major public official who had access to classified material took some home with them after they left office. We know that. And they went after him selectively. Legally, there's no difference between what he did and what President Biden did. There may be differences in their attitude and their approach and how nice they were to the government, but those aren't crimes. So it is the strongest case evidentially, but it's the weakest case in terms of if there were a conviction.
Professor Alan Dershowitz is here, and just as Bill O'Reilly has his killing series, we may now have the Alan Dershowitz war on series. In our next segment, we'll talk about the war on Jews, talk a little bit about anti-Semitism, but let me send everybody to War on Woke, why the new McCarthyism is more dangerous than the old. Some of us, it was a little before I was born, you were still on the planet, but the Army McCarthy hearings, and we've been bludgeoned with that forever, properly so, that was bad, the House Un-American Activities Committee, all the stigma of that, but what is the new McCarthyism, and why is it more toxic?
Well, it's much more toxic because it represents the future. The old McCarthyism represented the past. People were asking whether or not people had been in the Communist Party in the 1930s. I was involved in that because I was the president of the student body at Brooklyn College when McCarthyism was very, very evident there. And one of the professors who I wrangled with was a man named Eugene Scalia, who had an interesting son named Nino Scalia.
So good.
And that's how I got to know Nino, through his father originally. But the new McCarthy is much more dangerous because it involves young people. Look, we'll move on to the next issue. But there's a guy at Columbia with the leader of the Columbia occupation, who says Jews and Zionists don't deserve to live. And you're lucky that I haven't decided to kill them now. He's the leader of the... You know what his goal is? To run for Congress. And he'll get elected.
Of course. And why not?
If he gets elected, he'll get elected.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's so much more dangerous. It's our future.
And I don't mind for a couple of minutes, and then we'll just continue, because we got one more segment with Alan Dershowitz. Let's talk a little bit about War on the Jews, which came out in December, I mean, with memories of October 7th even fresher than they are now. And I think the subtitle is something about how to stop Hamas. How in the world do you stop Hamas?
Beat them. You do what we did to Japan and Germany. You destroy them totally from top to bottom. Hamas, the way we destroyed the Nazi Party and the fascist regime, and then the people will love you. You know, some people say, oh, if you bomb them, they will turn into terrorists. That's not what happened in Japan and Germany.
No.
We bombed the hell out of Japan and Germany,
yep.
And they realized that it was their leaders who brought this about, and they turned into America's best friends. that will happen if Hamas is defeated, but it won't happen.
Let me pause on that. Let me take that as the entrance ramp to a couple of other offshoots on how that happens and the anti-Semitism sprawling across our campuses and a couple of other things with Professor Alan Dershowitz as we continue for one more segment. We're very grateful. Here on America First with Dr. Gorka, Mark Davis filling in. Be right back with Dr. Dershowitz.
Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Gorka back on Monday. Mark Davis from 660 AM, The Answer. Happy morning, host here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Blessed to be here for Dr. Gorka and particularly fortunate to have the occasion to spend some time with Alan Dershowitz. War on woke, we just talked about that. Get Trump, we just talked about that. War against the Jews, how to end Hamas barbarism. Alan, it came out in December. Did you write that as the attacks were happening? I know how long it takes to turn a book around.
I did. I called my publisher on October 7th while the attacks were taking place. And I said, I have to do this book. And he said, if you can get it to me in 30 days, I'll have it published in 60. And I got it to him in 28 days, and he published it in 58 days. And, you know, I've written a book since, War on Woke, and I'm working on another one now called The Death of the American University, which is growing out of what's happening at Columbia.
Well, let's tie them all together because it is rampant anti-Semitism on display. One of two things is true.
And anti-Americanism.
Of course. Well. Thank you. There's no accident that the people who show up waving Israeli flags tend to love America. And a lot of the folks showing up to wave Palestinian flags hate America. That's not by accident, is it?
No, it's not. And they're clear about it. They say we call for revolution, death to America. They're flying. They're burning American flags. These are the same people who did Occupy Wall Street, and they're radicals. They're old-fashioned. We used to call them communists. Now we call them anarchists. They hate America. They want to bring America down. They use any conflict as an opportunity to try to destroy America. And they're supported by foreign governments. Don't you think Russia and China and Iran and North Korea love what's going on in American universities now? They don't care about the Palestinians. They care about bringing down America.
So since that's true, let me, I don't want to make it all about you, yet you intrigue me. And I was just during the break talking about how we all value Alan because Alan is a legendary Hillary voting Democrat, yet rushes to Trump's constitutional defense.
Right.
And I'm not looking to get the admission from you and make a headline right now, but on what basis would you vote for Biden? I know you differ with Trump on some political, I think you're pro-choice, I think maybe some other things, but from the stuff that you're writing about, Israel, the woke mind virus, these things only get worse if you are a Biden voter. So do I sense the direction you may go?
It may be. I am at the moment not a Biden voter. I am an open-minded person who will wait and see what Biden does. Right now, if we had the election today, I could not bring myself to vote for Biden. I don't know who I would vote for, but, I'm like many, many pro-Israel Democrats, former Democrats, questioning Democrats. I have an open mind. I want them, whoever wants me to vote for them has to earn my vote.
Let's flip the coin. Because there are a lot of people like you. What is a thing or two that is a barrier to just becoming a Trump voter?
Abortion, gay rights. Now, I spoke to Trump about those things. And he said to me, look, those are not my major issues. My major issues are the economy. My major issues are foreign policy. I want to leave abortion to states. Right. And he's always been a supporter of gay rights. So it's possible he may be able to earn.
Isn't that constitutionally correct? Aren't we in post Roe v. Wade exactly where pro-lifers and pro-choicers can at least, they're not together on the issue, but can at least appreciate that the states can be a laboratory for whatever policies they like?
Within mm-hmm. limits. For example, there are some states that are now thinking of banning abortion based on a morning after pill. And the American public won't stand for that. And I think the people of the states won't stand for that. There's a good argument that it's up to the states. Look, I was an opponent of Roe versus Wade in 1973. I support a woman's right to choose, but I really thought that the court had gone too far in constitutionalizing that right. Also, you know, overruling Roe versus Wade, as the Supreme Court did recently, was a gift to the Democrats. And hurt the Republican Party enormously.
Yep.
So, you know, these are complicated issues. That's why I have an open mind. What I don't have an open mind on is the toleration of these advocates of mass murder that we're hearing on college campuses today. And I want to hear both candidates speak on that issue. I have experience on this. I represented on free speech, purely
got
on
about
free
30
speech.
Seconds. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Right. A lot of advocates of bad things in the 1970s.
Yep.
And some of those people went on to become terrorists. So I am giving a warning now that people at Columbia University and at USC and other schools, some of them will ultimately not only say we are Hamas, but will help Hamas engage in terrorism against American citizens. That's why we have to be so concerned about what's going on. It doesn't only endanger Jews.
Alan Dershowitz,
every American.
What a gift you are to the discourse. Thank you so much, sir. War on Woke, War Against the Jews. Anything Alan writes, read it, and you'll be well served. Mark Davis in for Seb Gorka. Back in a moment.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.